It's a 7:23. It's a Friday morning. State Senator Richard Dreheim is now joining us by phone. Senator, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, are you at home today? Are you heading up to the? Are you up at the Capitol or?
No, I usually come home Thursday morning, or excuse me, Thursday night. So I'm actually in my office in Mankato right now.
All right, let's talk a little bit about how this week in the Senate and the legislature went. First of all, are there any bills that you've been working on?
You know, we've been working on quite a few bills. And I think this week we had a bill get dropped, and I think it'll be heard next week on affordable textbooks. Trying to review the process on how the universities do textbooks costs. They're quite high, and you know we're trying to keep college affordable. And we can look at the labor, we can look at the facilities, tuition, and then textbooks are usually the four areas that we look at for college. And 75% of the budget is labor. Well, that's kind of set aside a little bit. The buildings are done with bonding. Tuition is always a touchy subject. We try to keep it frozen. But textbooks are something we really haven't looked at much. So we're trying to look at how can we make the process easier for the kids on these textbooks. So that's one area.
You know, it's been a long time since I've been in a college classroom, but here at Northfield at the high school, we have gone to the iPad type thing with the software included with that. So students really don't buy much in the way of textbooks. Is technology playing a role in this? Do they still have to buy a hardcovered book go to classes?
No, good point. No, they don't. But part of what the publishers of these textbooks have gone to is kind of more or less a software package that they sell to the kids, which comes with pretty handy for the faculty. It has built-in grading and quizzes and assignments, and it's kind of the complete package. But to pay for that, it's spread out through the kids. I think it's just something we need to bring a conversation to the table. So they have to pay a fee, which isn't any cheaper than a textbook, to use an online type data.
Wow, boy, you think that would be, the software would be at least a little more affordable than the textbook would be, considering the materials used at all. But what is it? Do you have an idea what the bill's going to look like? It seems to be something that has good intentions, but it would be difficult to legislate. Would it be like a price fixing or a limit on the prices?
Well, we're trying to get the cost down and limit the number of dollars they can charge for school books.
Okay.
So I think that'll put pressure on the textbook companies and the universities to try to find and keep in consideration what is the cost of the textbooks. At least they'll have to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or I think it was totally up to the author. And I remember when I went to college, a lot of times it was the author was the professor, or he contributed to the book.
Okay.
So that there might be some conflict of interest there in my, just outside looking in. I don't know what the royalties are like on that type of stuff. But we're going to require them to start making affordable books for a percentage of the classes. So there's going to be some specialty classes that there's just not a lot of options, and
mm-hmm.
we can't control that. But a lot of the intro level classes, the basic classes, I think there is some flexibility there, and that's kind of where this is geared towards.
Okay.
Trying to get the cost of textbooks front and center when the professors decide what books to use.
All right. There's also, now I know you're on higher education, but there is a bill, I'm reading the Star Tribune this morning, there is a bill that's put on by a couple of Republicans in the Senate that aims to limit politics in schools. And I'm presuming that is slanted politics towards one side or the other. Are you familiar with this? Do you know anything about it yet? Have you seen it?
No, and you know, I think people don't realize how many bills that we have. Last year, so the first year of the 2-year term, which those bills are still in play for this year, I think between the House and the Senate, we had like 5,500 bills.
Wow.
So,
man,
plus amendments.
Wow.
So when you count amendments on there, it's really hard, unless it's your committee that you're working on, it's really hard to follow everything. You know, we get a recap, but it's usually a sentence or two on each committee every week, so it isn't real in-depth. Do you have a bill number? I could sure look it up.
I don't know that I have one on that.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting concept. You know, I was very interested in politics when I was in high school. I was what I would consider very liberal in high school, and coming from a Democratic family, and not involved externally, but I followed politics. And you know, all I would ask, and I think a lot of my teachers would bring up a topic, but they would also bring up both sides of the topic. And I think that's the healthy, you know, when we had journalism class, you know, what they talked about was discussing the issue and then discussing the sides of the issue. And I think sometimes we lean one direction or the other, and we don't have an honest conversation about it. So I would hate to ban anything in school. But if there's anything we can do to make it, more encompassing, you know, I think half of our challenges in society is that we don't have mutual respect for one another. And I think the more we understand one another, the better we'll get along, the more we'll accomplish, et cetera.
All right. Let's move on. You are also on a couple of the ag committees, both finance and policy and the jobs and economic committee as well. Anything happening in that area?
You know, probably the biggest thing in the two areas probably that we talked about a lot. And so there's the two of the committees I sit on are called agriculture, rural development, and housing. And housing has been one area we've been focusing quite a bit on. And trying to look at the affordability. So you can fill in the blank. You know, there's homelessness, and then there's affordability for every other segment or subsegment of society. In the rural development end of that, the workforce housing is really a common phrase that they use. And we don't have affordable houses anymore. Through good intentions, we've changed zoning laws, density laws, square footage size, building code. We had two testifiers yesterday that claimed, and I do believe them, that code in the last 10 years has increased the cost of a home $30,000. So that's not inflation. That's not extra labor costs. That's not extra material costs. That's just code changes. So the standard building code in Minnesota, what they've changed there, has added $30,000. Now, are some of those code changes necessary? Yeah, probably. The debate goes, okay, what would you rather have? Affordable house for a young family, maybe a refugee family or immigrant family that is just getting started. They don't have a lot of resources, but yet they're working. And on a career path job, they have some pretty good income to afford some type of housing. So would you rather have a newer house that is a little more energy efficient, the double pane windows, more insulation, or a 100-year-old house that has single pane windows and no insulation? So there has to be a balancing act there. And I don't, you know, we're looking at it. I'm on the governor's task force for housing. We spend a lot of time debating it on all aspects of housing, but it's been very interesting. And then the other issue that we've spent a lot of time on those two committees is the new nitrogen rules that the governor is proposing for this year. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not. Tell us about it.
Well, what they're doing, or what they're suggesting, is some changes to farming practices. So with precision farming today, you know, it used to be they'd go out and they'd just spread chemicals or anhydrous everywhere, and a lot of people use manure for fertilizer today, too. And in today's world, everybody keeps track of every ounce that they spread everywhere. But there are some issues. Depending on what soil type you have, if you apply it in the spring or the fall, so they're looking at that, trying to make farmers more aware of what's going on. You know, most of the farmers that I've dealt with over the years, being in that business for almost 20 years, are very conscious of that. They don't want to waste the material. They don't want to pollute their rivers or streams, but it's good to have a debate about it. So that'll be interesting. And then one of the other pieces to that puzzle is that, the governor's wanting well tests done on every transfer of homes. And right now, it's part of the disclosure process when you purchase a home, and a lot of lenders require a well test. But what his proposal is through the Department of Commerce, it would make well tests mandatory on a six-month basis. So it has to be at least 6 months new, if you will, to transfer the home ownership or sell your house. So that's something we'll be dealing with also.
All right. We're just about out of time. We're talking with State Senator Rich Dreheim from District 20. Senator, is there anything coming up this week that this coming week that your constituents should keep their eye on?
Well, you know, a couple things I'm working. I have a couple bills for Twin Cities Rise. It's a training program mainly for what they refer to as returning citizens or felons that are reentering the workforce. Really good program in the Twin Cities, and one of the reasons I love it, not only because of the good work they do, but because of how it's handled. We reimburse those nonprofits after they get people on a career path job, after they've trained them and helped them. Wonderful, wonderful program. And then working on this bill with the Minnesota Department of Health on more beds for mental health and substance abuse. Very important bill. So we dropped that. We're working with the department to probably tweak it a little bit, keep everybody happy on that. But right now we have a moratorium on new beds for hospitals. Working on some law changes for your local hospital there on some accounting issues that they're faced with being a city-owned hospital, a little different. There's only eight or nine, I think, different hospitals like that in the state that are in a kind of a unique situation on how the accounting has to be reported. So I appreciate your time.
All right. Senator, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week. Have a good week.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Goodbye. State Senator Rich Dreheim with us each week during the legislative session here on 95.1 FM and AM 1080 KYMN Northfield. Local news with Terry coming up in just a minute.